better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
A few of you calling and texting into the Cherokee Casino hotline, so let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. JR is in Marshall. What's going on, JR?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. But you?
I'm doing all right. You know, really, I think the question that needs to be asked to this team would be two things. Number one, does it not really, you know, make you mad or motivate you that Coach O meets Traylon Burks at the center of the field and has a little conversation with him about maybe speculation about maybe entering the transfer portal? It looked pretty chummy to me, you know, when they met, you know, after the game. And then number two, his post-game comments, you know, about, you know, Arkansas, you know, we're not going to celebrate this. I left the boot on the field.
Yeah, they don't care about that trophy at all.
I would think that this would motivate them to come out Friday. You know, I mean, at what point do these guys, you know, quit wallowing and what's going on this season and, you know, get a fire lit in them that they're going to come out, you know, and play? I don't know. It's going to take some time. Whoever they bring in coach-wise, you know, I really think that it's going to take some time. You could bring in, you know, a big power name, and it's going to take some time to get these guys back where they can actually function on the field like they need to quarters. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you guys have a good day.
Appreciate the phone call, man.
And you need some good timing, some good fortune. And I listening to Richard and Dudley and the recruiting experts, I don't know that's there. Musselman, Petrino comes in, good fortune that there's a great crop of in-state recruits.
Big time.
Musselman's come in, what? Great crop of, I mean, he's having a great recruiting season, but he's also had some great kids to recruit in this state. The next football coach, Bielema never, I mean, not making excuses for Brett Bielema, but the fact is he never had that kind of bumper crop at once in the state. He said, well, go get them somewhere else. Well, that's easier said than done. Mm-hmm.
Although the 2013 class that Brett Bielema had was really good.
But not in line a lot of in-state guys there.
Yeah. I guess Hunter Henry was kind of the leader of that pack, but yeah. True.
But I think you or I could have maybe been the head coach at Arkansas, and Hunter Henry's probably coming, right?
Probably.
So, point being, Eric Musselman's off to a great start, but he's had a lot of great kids. I'd like to see the next football coach have that kind of deal. I don't know if that's going to line up. So,
yeah.
But there have been a handful of kids here lately. You know, you got a lineman down at Conway. You got a few others that have left the state.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to start rounding everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that's where it begins. You got to get all the best kids in your state.
Yeah. Which, by the way, the comment made about JR talking about Ed Orgeron is this comment right here.
This doesn't get you going.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
My bad.
Now we good?
Now we good.
All right.
No, that's right. There was going to be not too much of a celebration to beat Arkansas. They haven't beaten anybody in a long time. Oh, so we were supposed to win that football game and on to Texas A&M.
Okay. Do you have to twist the knife? Do you have to do
and
that,
then,
coach?
And then step on it. You know, step on us.
Man.
I like Ed Orgeron, but, don't like LSU, but I like Ed Orgeron. That might be changing my opinion right there. Wasn't necessary.
Yeah, but I mean,
unnecessary roughness. Head coach LSU.
There wasn't going to be no celebrating beating Arkansas because they have not beaten anybody in a long time.
Well, he's right.
Yeah, he's right. Doesn't make it good to hear. We know you're right, Coach. We know you're right. Don't have to hear it again.
Like when your wife asks you, "Do these jeans make me look fat?" You don't have to give the correct answer.
No, just be very generic.
You look great.
He could have just said, no, it's just, you know, this is a game we were supposed to win.
We got
a lot to play for.
It's on to A&M.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean.
Oh, well.
They left the trophy out on the field, Tommy. They don't care about that trophy. That's like the third time they've just left it on the field.
One time they had to find it.
Yeah. To bring it back. Just need to get rid of it. Just get rid of it and call it good, because this is, it's obviously not a very good rivalry. At least not a very meaningful one to them, that's for sure. All right, let's go back to the Cherokee Casino hotline. Eddie is in Clarksville. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, gentlemen, and good morning to the fan base.
like to start off this morning and say congratulations to the women's cross country at the U of A for bringing a national title back to the U of A. Hey, it's always good, no matter if it's football, basketball, whatever the sport is, to win a national title. And I, you know, one of my biggest dreams in life, as you all know, my passion is to see a game of this football program I hope to see one day. And my dream's still alive. And for the fan base, keep the dream alive. And briefly, tell Mr. Hunter Yurecek this morning, whoever the next coach you choose to lead our football program out of the darkness, he has to be charismatic. Just look at what Coach Wilson was done. I mean, he brings energy. What brings me to a young man, I believe he's going to announce come Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, when we gather with our families. Let's make a plea for a young man in Bryan, Arkansas, K.K. Robinson. Come join the U of A. Come join Devontae, Moses, and Jalen. And, hey, if we're going to get this basketball program rolling on a high level again, where it should be, is there a better fan base when it's rolling than at the U of A? You better drink some coffee. There's not. Because we're going to fill the arena, and we're going to call the Hawks. And let me tell you, we're coming back sooner than later in our basketball program. And so that's what we need in a football coach. We need somebody to come in with that charisma. And so I hope you go get the job done, whoever that coach is. And I'm also reminded just in 3 days, I'd like to give thanks again to all the fan base. In 3 days, we call it a very special day, Thanksgiving. And when you gather with your family, as you embrace me in my time of need last year, make it mean a little bit more. And so I want to give thanks again for the associates at DC6082 in Clarksville, because I put this slogan on a report this week, and I sent it to the general manager. When push comes to shove, you push the groceries out so customers can fill their baskets and have a happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays. And you do a tremendous job. Hats off to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Eddie.
Happy Thanksgiving, Eddie.
As always, thank you. You know, talking about the Razorback basketball team and the excitement factor, I tell you what, the more that we see from this team, the more exciting and excited Razorback fans get. Now, tonight will be really a true test as they take on Georgia Tech on the road in Atlanta. So we'll find out a little more about them. But when you hear that stat that Arkansas is the best three-point defense in the country right now, even if it's only been five games, even if it's only been against teams that aren't exactly high caliber, or some of them may make the tournament, we'll see. But you've got to be at least have a little bit of excitement to you for the Razorback basketball team. I know Eddie does. I know a lot of Razorback fans doing it. And what perfect timing than to come right now and not have to deal with it.
Let me give you one from Hogstats here. This season will be just the second time in the 21st century that the Razorbacks have had three-plus true road non-conference games in the regular season, excluding preseason NIT games.
Really?
Or NIT games. Playing Georgia Tech, obviously, going to Western Kentucky and Indiana coming up. They did it one other time in 14 and 15, SMU, Iowa State, Clemson. Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Boston College are the only, here's what I didn't realize, Arkansas one of just three teams nationally in the Power Five to play three true non-conference road games this season. So not many doing what Arkansas is doing.
No, that's true. That's true.
That Western Kentucky game didn't come about by virtue of you had to give them that game in order to, because they kind of bailed you out of a football deal on this contract deal.
I believe so.
Yeah. You had to go play there.
Which is not going to be an easy game at all.
Nope.
So we'll find out exactly what this basketball team's made of, especially with these road games. So, you know, just be on the lookout for that, because let's be honest, it's one thing to win a Bud Walton Arena.
many a bad teams have won at Bud Walton Arena. But can you win on the road? That's going to be the key, especially when you enter an SEC play.
Hey, are you looking for a new place to call home this holiday season or maybe moving into 2020? You want to move into a new place, whether it's a duplex, townhome, single-family home, whether it's in Northwest Arkansas, the River Valley, Hot Springs, Central Arkansas, or another state, Trinity Multifamily can help you because they manage properties all over the country. In fact, over 21,000 units in 15 different states. Hey, if you're looking for a new place to call home, call Trinity Multifamily first, 479-452-1817. That's 452-1817. Or use the easy-to-use search tool online to find rental properties near you at trinitymultifamily.com. Trinity Multifamily is your teammate in the real estate game.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Chris is in Mansfield. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey, the question was, that you guys asked was, what would we see different, I think, from Chad Moore's era to right now? You know, that mm-hmm. season's ended. I think I saw a lot of unity. I think we saw a lot of people come together. A lot of people, the guys played well in the first half. What was it still the same, though, that I think is ridiculous is how the wheels fell off on the defense. And my question is, why is John Chavis still on the sideline? I think it's a coaching era. You know, why are we still seeing this guy, Tom Ginn, just, like I said, the wheels freaking came off. So I'm tired of that. But anyways, I'll shut up and let y'all talk. But thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call. I mean, what can you really just fire? What are you going to do, fire John Chavis? And
is
then,
that going to change things?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's going to change.
John Chavis isn't going to be coaching your defense next year.
No, he's not going to be retained.
You're paying him to not coach your defense. But, yeah, nothing's going to change here.
No. And
okay, and you could put Steve Caldwell in charge. You know,
yes, but again,
what difference is that going to make?
Yeah,
I've been a defender of John Chavis, and clearly, I mean, it's just not working. And it hasn't got better; it's getting worse.
Yeah,
you know, I've defended the point that he doesn't have enough good players, and they get consistently beat at the line of scrimmage and shouldn't be all the time. Get linebackers blocked out. I mean, but the secondary. And they were shorthanded Saturday in the secondary. They had two players that didn't even make the trip due to illness. The secondary has been horrendous for two straight seasons. So, I don't know. I thought it was a good hire. A lot of people were against it. Those people were right, and I was wrong. Because John Chavis has not made Arkansas's defense better through his 40-plus years of experience at this level.
Yeah, and it's not just that, and it's the fact that I think people see how much he's making, too, which I know isn't always a great indication, but if you're paying...
It doesn't matter.
I mean, you can't be paying...
It matters, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the results matter.
Right, but you can't be paying a guy $1.5 million a year and the defense getting worse. I mean, that's one of the highest-paid coordinators in the country.
So 1.5 or 1.2, I don't guess it really matters.
It doesn't matter. He's making over $1 million a year, which is a lot for a coordinator.
That's a lot for a coordinator. It's the most Arkansas has ever paid an assistant coach. But here's the deal. He's not going to be here next year.
No.
You're going to be paying him to not be here next year, but he's not going to be here any longer.
No.
That's the way it works. You don't get results, you get fired. And he's not going to be retained by the next head coach.
And I think that might be the more disappointing thing in what made of the Chad Moore's hire. Because the Chad Moore's hire, we've talked about how disappointing that was and looking at a hindsight. But you know, that was a big thing is he kept saying he's going to hire the best defensive coordinator in the country. And when John Chavis came in, I was with you, Tom. I was like, well, maybe this will be a final spark. Maybe this will be something that can work out with him and the system that he's been putting into place. And I think that there was not a whole lot of talent on defense, but at least enough to be a bad defense. They're not even a bad defense. They're an awful defense.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I know that's been frustrating at times.
I just, you know, the early takes for John Chavis is past his prime, he's on the downhill slide, he's too old to do this, he can't keep up with today's modern game. Those were some of the more popular takes. And I just was of the belief, you know, you don't go to sleep one night and all the knowledge falls out of your ear. You know, you can't replace knowledge. And he's got a lot of it, but it's not translating to results on the field.
Yeah.
I'm not a believer that, hey, this guy can't coach anymore. I don't know about that. I just don't think it's just not happening for whatever reason. It's not coming together.
But you don't think that maybe just the game's passed him by?
Listen, the game has changed how many times across his 40 years of work? The game has changed multiple occasions, and he's been able to keep up. I don't think it's the game has passed him by, no. It's just not translating. It's not effective. It's time to do something different.
Yeah.
One more game and you will do something different.
That's right. Well, and then Matt and Rogers text in. He says, after Saturday, is there any doubt that the defense needs to be a priority moving forward?
That's why I've been in favor of a defensive-minded head coach. You know, people want to talk about Bob Stoops. I keep coming back to Mark Stoops, Kentucky. Would he be someone that would be interested in this job and get out of the shadow of Calipari and Rupp Arena and all the, you know, big blue nation that cares about? Not at all. I mean, I know they pay attention for about 2 months to your football program, but by late October, you're an afterthought. Come to Arkansas, you're not an afterthought. Is Mark Stoops the best coach in the country? No, I'm not saying he is, but Arkansas is not going to get the best coach in the country. Of the available, reasonable candidates, I think he should be one that is considered, and he's a defensive first coach.
Yeah. Well, and the other matter of it is, too, is that can you recruit well enough on the defensive side of the ball? Because you can be a great coordinator, X's and O's, but I think more so on defense than even on offense, you have to have big-time players, all 11 guys, where on the offense you maybe be able to get away with it with schemes and all that, but defense you can't do that. You have to have somebody that's not even a great defensive coach but can recruit the defensive guys to get in there too.
You know, the perception was Petrino didn't want to when he was here, and everybody's all excited about, you know, there's a big element out there that wants him back for whatever reason, but he didn't want to recruit defensive guys. Hey, let's put those extra scholarships over here on wide receivers.
But he still produced NFL defensive players, though.
Yeah.
You still got Trey Flowers, still got Chris Smith. You still got guys like that. You still had even guys like a Tevin Mitchell who played in the NFL a lot. I mean, I'm not saying his defenses were great, but
it wasn't the priority.
It wasn't the priority, but it's okay if it's not the priority if what your priority is elite, and that's what it was. Right. It was offense, and that's what I was hoping for Chad Morris, going back and making a full circle. John Chavis, when he was hired, we kept saying, we're not expecting a top 10 defense. You don't have to have a top 10 defense, because assuming that Chad Morris is going to bring in the high-powered offense,
he's going to be in the left lane, hammer down. Chavis just kind of keep up.
Yeah, just be decent.
Left lane, hammer down, baby.
Yeah, that's all it took, but it
full
didn't happen.
Full tilt boogie.
God, let's just burn those phrases forever.
Well, I mean, if he'd approached just any of it, just done one of them. You know, just get in the left lane. You don't even have to go hammer down.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is you don't have to be...
Back, you were like most people I encountered on the interstate this way. You were in the left lane, but you were far from hammer down.
Yeah.
You were
and what's more, and what's
60.
And what's more frustrating than that?
Ugh.
Than getting in the left lane and someone going 60.
Hazer Home in Arkansas, at least 10 years old and served by OG&E. If it is, they have a free weatherization program to increase your comfort and lower your bills. They have crews that'll come out and do an energy audit. Doesn't cost you anything at all. And if your home qualifies, they'll come back, put more insulation in your attic, LED light bulbs around your house, weather stripping, power strips, carbon monoxide and smoke detectors, and a whole lot more. And you won't spend a dime on this. It's a free program from OG&E. Call 1-800-272-9741. That's 1-800-272-9741 for OG&E's free home weatherization program.
By the way, have you heard the latest on who some Razorback fans are maybe advocating for coach? It's the latest. It's a new day.
Oh, is there a new name?
There's a new name.
New name that's entered the coaching portal?
That's right. A new name. Butch Davis.
I've heard. Yeah, I got some text about this yesterday.
He did beat Miami over the weekend at Florida International. He's 68 years old. Got Arkansas ties.
How many people knew he was still coaching?
Probably half, maybe, if that. Florida International? I don't know. It's just one of those things.
There's also this rumor that if Butch Davis would come, Sam Pittman would join him. I don't know if that's true. I got a text about that yesterday. I'm like, okay.
Would you be okay with that then? Would that alone get you excited?
Why would you hire Butch Davis to get Sam Pittman when you could just hire Sam Pittman and get Sam Pittman?
Because you don't know how good of a head coach he's going to be.
Well, how good a head coach is Butch Davis going to be here?
He at least has been one. So I'm not advocating it for. I'm just saying that these are the reasons and excuses that some of these fans are making.
68 years old.
And
you say, well, Saban's nearly 70. Yes. Yeah. I think Saban's 67 or 8.
Yeah, he's established,
but you know, not quite the same thing.
I mean, what's a good age for a coach for Arkansas to hire? Then
I think 30 something, 40 something.
Isn't that ageism?
I'm just saying relatability to these. I mean, look at Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
There's example.
Ryan Day.
Yeah.
Up at Ohio State. I don't know.
I mean, if you want a true left lane hammer down, full tilt boogie, high energy, I'm amazed at the level of energy Eric Musselman's able to sustain at 55 years old. I'm not saying it can't be done because he's, but I think he's an anomaly, right?
He doesn't even, you would never guess he's 55.
He doesn't look 55 because he like runs 5 or 6 miles a day. He's a runner.
Yeah.
He looks like a runner.
Yeah. They say the same thing about you.
Yeah, exactly. Run to the fridge.
Yeah.
You know, but he does, I don't really care if he's 55 or 35, but I do think to recruit in today's environment, you got to have that excitement, that aura around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people pick up on that. You know what we're really talking about? Confidence. Confidence is a cologne that cannot be duplicated, that smells good and that everybody wants a sniff of. You know, Chad Morris reeked and it wasn't confidence at all.
It's the wrong aroma
right. That
you wanted.
It came in and it appeared that way, but it quickly wore off.
Yeah. And also there's a fear of people who, if you hire an older coach, then they may not have the same fire and passion for the job, maybe looking closer to retirement. Because that was, again, going back to the whole John Chavis thing, that was something that a lot of people thought about John Chavis, was like, dude, this guy's old. I mean, is he really have the same fire burning in his belly to go out there and prove himself as a defensive coordinator? Or is he more, hey, I've established myself. I'm gonna just good. I'm not going to change. Going to keep doing the things I'm going to be keep doing. Get my check and go right off into the sunset. I mean, there's some people that are fearful of hiring an older coach because of that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's legitimate. I think that they're.
Oh, I think there is some truth to when you're young and you're hungry and you haven't established yourself. And the thing is, you're trying to hire people that money doesn't motivate them, because they're all going to have enough money to live the rest of their lives in a few short years. And that's one thing. The older you get in life and the more established and the more of a security blanket you built for yourself, it's harder to be that motivated. It just is. So you got to find guys that are driven by other things. Saban clearly is not motivated by money.
No.
Doesn't mean he doesn't want to be paid. I'm just saying that's not what drives him.
I think he's got enough.
Exactly. You know, a lot of us, we're driven by money because we got to pay our bills. You know, or OG&E's coming to turn the meter off. That's just how it works. Water company's going to come shut the meter off.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. Those guys aren't worried about any of those things like the whole world. That's why they're wired the way they are and doing what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's why somebody like, and I know that we got about to run out of time, but somebody like a Jimbo Fisher, to me, is probably not going to work at A&M because, to me, he was a guy.
He was too secure.
He was a guy driven by money. He got $7.5 million a year, and what if he had to show for it?
Yeah.
Probably going to go 7-5.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated, is joining us as well. And to re-answer your question that you said, Clay, because we had some technical difficulties, though, you were asking that if the quarterback could not be KJ Jefferson against Missouri, who would I like to see? Honestly, the Jack Lindsey thing at least makes me curious. But at the same time, though, once again, we see that the starting quarterback doesn't perform as well as the quarterback that comes in to relieve him. And who knows, is the Jack Lindsey thing, was it a good thing because LSU towards the end of the game, they kind of mailed it in. They had a lot of second stringers in. It could have been definitely the case, but I mean, at this point, does it really matter who starts at quarterback for Arkansas?
No, I mean, it's the quarterback that gets the most help. That's the one I want to start, and that would be protection in the offensive line. And if he's able to, and this is the key part, and a lot of people don't understand it, and sometimes I don't understand it, is the quarterback that does the best is the one that can execute the pass protections and make sure the calls are right up front and check the right plays. And, you know, you see plays run into the teeth of the defense. I mean, there is one play that KJ, he ran in, you know, it was a read play with Jefferson, and he ran it into the overshift. And that means two guys are in the backfield as soon as the snap was. I mean, you run it to the other side, you know, so mm-hmm. he checked wrong. And sometimes a late shift by the defense makes you wrong, even when you check right. But that's the critical aspect. And they say Jack understands all that stuff. You know, one of the interesting comments that I got a few weeks ago is that Joe Craddock, you know, sometimes asks questions in the meeting room, you know, to test the quarterbacks. And he had to kind of tell Jack, hey, let these other guys answer it. Because he'd get it right every time, and he blurted out immediately. And he's so good in that way. I mean, his passes were great. I mean, he looked like he knew what he was doing. Even the one that, you know, he's throwing to the tight end, Kern, and was tripped up, you know, at the goal line, it was, you know, it wasn't fired into coverage. It was floated up where Kern was going to be the only one to get it, you know, and they took him down. You know, I was down on the field to watch that play, and I was like, man, that's what you need on the goal line. And he can throw the slant. He can do all that. But by the same respect, he's not the fastest dude. He took advantage when they left a big opening on that counter play. He ran for 30. But he's, it's Jefferson, yeah. You know, unless he's in protocol. And then I don't know, to be honest. And I think probably everybody else is the same way.
So I guess the question, I don't know how many first-team reps there will actually be. You're at the point of the year you're not practicing a lot, but – who gets the preparation? Who gets the first team reps this week for however many those will be on a short week with a team that's at the end of the year?
Well, if Jefferson and Starkle are hurt, then it's easy. Then you give them to John David Jones, John Stephen Jones, and Jack Lindsey. And if not, then whatever. But you're right; it's short week, and Monday and Tuesday are the big preparation days, and. You know, then you get ready for a Friday afternoon game. You know, if Jefferson had a concussion, I do not think he'll play this week. I mean, as simple as that. I mean, there's not any way to go through that concussion protocol in a short week. Just not possible. What? And so it looked like he had a surefire concussion after the game. I mean, that was the diagnosis. So here we go. It's probably concussion protocol.
Well, and I'll actually have a question more about just one of the players that the quarterback will be getting the ball to. And I know that some other fans have had this question as well. We know that Traylon Burks has been targeted a lot. And he, I mean, the guy's a playmaker. He's as good as it gets when it comes to a wide receiver. But, you know, Trey Knox has kind of gone missing. And I don't know if that's on him or not. I'm just saying that if you look at his stats compared to what he was at the beginning of the season, I know the opponents were Ole Miss, Colorado State, and San Jose State, but he had eight catches against those teams.
Yeah, and then he got hurt.
And then he got hurt, and I know he was having to go through some stuff. But, you know, against Mississippi State, he had one catch. Against Auburn, he had three catches. Kentucky, he only had two catches. I know he's been battling injury. In this game, he didn't have a single catch. Is it still?
He was targeted. He was targeted, I think, three times in the game. You know, there was one deep ball, you know, on the goal line, and I guess there were two passes in the end zone and a deep ball, so that was three. Then there was one over the middle where they threw it behind him, and so I know they've targeted him, but you'll see him come to the sideline and he's limping and hopping on one leg. So mm-hmm. I mean, he's not healthy, but he's still playing, and they're trying. There was about four games where, you know, I didn't think he was but about 70%, you know, the hip. And then the latest thing has been an ankle injury.
Mm. Okay, so that makes a lot more sense. I know there's just some fans have been wondering, you know, where has he been? Because he seems like
you just
such...
watch him hopping around on the sideline. You get it.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And another thing, too, that people have brought up from this game specifically, and I know it was frustrating because when we were watching it over at Joe's, it was something that everybody was just yelling about there in the restaurant. Is you had a few plays here and there where you had the Razorback players let up before they got a first down. And we've had a few text messages of people asking about that. And two of those plays were by K.J. Jefferson, where if he could have just, which he had plenty of room to do so, just would have made another step or two, would have gotten the first down. Traylon Burks was another issue. Was that just chalked up to the freshman mistakes that they made, Clay?
Yeah, it was three times that were obvious that they did not check the stakes. And Barry Lunny is, you know, that was the first thing he talked about after the game. He said they go over that every Friday in walkthrough. They have the stakes up there, awareness of the stakes. And you'd think that in high school you would have that too. So it's not like, and I think that's just the going into an environment where it's just awesome. I mean, it's just everything is, you know, it's the biggest stage that you can have. And, you know, just, you know, that's experience. You know, it's like, you know, concentration, focus at all times, you know, what those stakes are like. And I mean, every practice they have stakes up. So yeah, that's what that was. And, you know, it's, when you're playing, they started seven true freshmen and LSU started one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's a huge difference. And, you know, it doesn't take but, you know, two or three freshman mistakes, and you multiply that times seven, that's 21. Well, it just changes the way the team rolls. And it's like Barry said afterwards, 2 years from now, when these guys get their next chance in that environment, they're going to be third-year players. Now, some of these guys will still be sophomores because they're playing now in the middle of redshirt seasons. KJ Jefferson is a redshirt, mm-hmm. technically. So he'll be a redshirt freshman next year. You know, it's I give Chad Morris credit. He redshirted an awful lot of players for the next coach.
Yeah, he did.
It's like, yep.
Yeah, he did. In fact, here's what Barry Lunny had to say about starting seven true freshmen and also in the fact of trying to get these seniors to end out on a good note against Missouri.
Well, not just him. I think we started seven true freshmen tonight. And so for that experience, I mean, they'll draw on that and make it. The next time they come here 2 years from now, there'll be some grown men coming down here. And not pups. And we got a lot of them that played that will bite you. When they bite you when they're young, they'll bite you even harder when they mature. And so, yeah, great learning experience for them. And now our focus is shifting towards we're not playing for the future. I mean, you know, we got one game left. And we got a chance to go to Little Rock, which is home for us, and send these seniors out the right way. You hear coaches say that a lot, but that's our goal.
I think that's a really good idea. Of course, a strategy. I don't think it's anything like that surprising, but to have the strategy of now in this final game, it's about getting these seniors out on the right foot. And I think that Barry even kept alluding to the fact that this is a senior day 2.0 or a redo, if you will, because he does not want these seniors for their last actual senior day to be that Western Kentucky game, which was technically senior day there in Fayetteville. They don't want that. And so now the focus has been shifted over to them. So that's going to be the big question as far as how is this team going to perform against Missouri? Because this isn't the number one team in the country on the road anymore. This is you coming back home against a team that's 5-6 in Missouri, has struggled this season.
Winnable game.
A very winnable game. And you have a chance to end that losing streak in SEC play, which is now the highest. You're at 18 games. 18 straight games you've lost SEC games. This would be if there's nothing that's going to come of it. If you win this game, you're not going to a bowl game, anything like that. But there would not be anything better that you could possibly do to try to put some sort of positive spin at the end of this season than to go out and beat Missouri and Little Rock. It would make the fans feel so much better. It'd be best for the seniors. Be great for those coaches just to end the game, end the season on some sort of positive note. Instead of ending the season on a whimper, which has pretty much been the entire season in general.
It's the last member you have headed into the offseason. It's a big game for the tape that will be evaluated by the next staff for these young players. I mean, there's just a lot of things, but as you said, there's not really anything at stake. There's nothing on the line. There's no bowl game that's going to come of a victory over Missouri. Even Missouri with a win.
Either team.
Yeah, even Missouri with a win can't get to a bowl because they're not eligible, even though it would give them a
probation.
Yeah.
But you get the battle line trophy, though.
Oh, well, yeah, you got that.
Yeah, so if you win, you at least get that. But you know what? As much as I like to make fun of these trophies and whatnot, if Arkansas did get that, that would be pretty great. That would be pretty great for them. They at least would be able to hang their hat on there. It is the Morning Rush, and we are brought to you by Crabtree RV here on the Monday Morning Quarterback.
Yeah, Christmas Cash Day sale on right now. From now through New Year's Eve, you can choose sales tax paid or $1,000 in Christmas cash on the purchase of any RV from Crabtree, and they'll still give you the most for your trade. The best deals of the year are happening now at Crabtree RV in Alma. Exit 13 off of I-40. Crabtree RV is where your family's dreams come true.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Neil is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Neil?
Hey, I just wanted to say that I don't think I'm on the KJ bus like everyone else. To me, he looked lost and slower decision-making than any other quarterback we've thrown out there.
So who would you want to see start against Missouri?
It really doesn't matter, but at this point, But to me, he just looked lost and like more than any of the other quarterbacks.
He looked like a freshman,
like,
didn't he?
His decision making was just a lot slower. And
well, yeah, I mean, you looked like a freshman. It's, at least that's what we
took.
I mean,
no one else has played much either, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the three.
He's got more upside, though, Neil. That's the deal. And Clay, that's what I see is when you compare him to the other quarterbacks that are on campus now, his ceiling's just a lot higher. He's just got there's just far more potential for what he can become in his red shirt freshman year and a sophomore year in his campaign here at Arkansas.
Yeah, what I saw is his presence changed the way LSU deployed their defense. They played both linebackers in tight. They keyed on Boyd and Jefferson. So what that does is it opens up the passing game. Unfortunately, he didn't have any protection. He was sacked three times, and he was had about five throwaways because they were on him pretty quick. So the LSU's defensive secondary is really good, and they played man to man, and they played tight, and you have to get some separation. So, but that's what you get with him. Missouri secondary isn't nearly as good. So if you want to cover the pass, like Mississippi State honored the pass, and that opens up him in the option running game. So he's the one guy that he can take it to the house if he gets a crease. And it's none of the rest of those guys have 4.38 speed. I mean, he's got it, and he's got a 225-pound body, maybe 230. So he's a young Cam Newton that needs to play, in my opinion.
Well, we got this text message, and speaking of the quarterback situation, I think it's interesting. It doesn't matter, but this comes from Doug in Sherwood. He says, "Would Arkansas be a 5-6 win team this season if Chad Morris had kept Ty Story?" If Ty Story would have remained the quarterback, would it have made any difference this season offensively?
I mean, I think what happened to him last year is he didn't make it to the end of the season before he was hurt. I think would be similar to what would happen this year. And it's just they just get beat up. And, Ty Story was protected by Western Kentucky's offensive line when Arkansas played. But he ran it, 15, 17 times against Arkansas's defense, and their offensive line allowed him to get the creases that he needed. I haven't seen that from Arkansas's offensive line, and everybody wants to talk about the quarterback play, and it goes back to the players around the quarterback, this team in the trenches, defensive line, McTelvin Nagim, T.J. Smith. How many tackles did they have against LSU? Zero. I mean, it's just, you can't, a team runs, 60, 70 plays and, your defensive tackles are not in on a play. It's all you really need to know. Offensive line. So it's back to that's what's got to be fixed for this team to perform at an SEC level and go toe-to-toe with these teams. You've got to get better in the offensive line. Is the quarterback – does not have to be Superman if you have the other complementary parts. If you don't, then KJ Jefferson or whoever you want to put out there has to be superhuman, and that's not fair.
Well, and Clay, this is something that we discussed, too, earlier in the show when talking about the differences of defensive and offensive lines. Obviously, that's trench play and how important it is in the SEC, but the offense, I'm not making excuses, but the offense and the performances that they've put in this season – I can almost understand to a regard because you lost two of your best offensive linemen, or your better offensive linemen. You had one before the season even started that you lost. Of course, his name just escaped me. The offensive lineman that was lost.
Dalton Wagner.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Dalton Wagner. You lost him, who a lot of people felt like he would be a starter. You had Colton Jackson and those issues that he had.
No, he played all year. Noah Gatlin.
Noah Gatlin is the one I'm referring
Noah
to.
Gatlin
I get him mixed up.
From Jonesboro.
Correct. So. I get him mixed up. But, yes, Noah Gatlin being
Dalton
out that
Wagner
season.
Was your right tackle.
Correct. And then you had, of course, Colton Jackson. You've had the quarterback situations up in the air. You've had some other injuries. You lose Cheyenne O'Grady at the end of the season. Like, you've had some things happen. Not saying that they, any excuses, but still, you've had them happen, and that's made the offense kind of be inconsistent at times. The defense, though, to me, Clay, I'm not saying that it was built or has the talent to be one of the better defenses in the SEC, but if you look at the statistics, it has a really good chance against Missouri this weekend, depending on how things go, to be statistically the worst defense Arkansas has ever fielded. And they have all had injuries. Everyone's had injuries and whatnot, but I just don't see or any reason why the defense has been so bad this year. Again, not saying that they have a lot of talent, but they weren't battling through some of the same things and some of the same issues that the offense was having, and that just kind of makes me scratch my head a little bit.
Yep, there's not any question. We've talked about it. They did lose their best defensive end, Dorian Gerald, and they're playing five freshmen. And that's, when you look at the redshirt freshmen and freshmen that are playing in the secondary, whether it be, Greg Brooks, Ladarius Bishop, who, is a redshirt freshman. Their cornerback play is below average. I mean, they don't cover very long. I mean, if you're going to play a nickel and you're going to play a true freshman, that's who people are going to go after. And if you watched what they did, I'm talking about LSU early in the game, is that he went right in. It didn't take Joe Burrow, one play. And that's who he picked on. And the freshman ends just, they lose leverage. They take wrong angles. It's consistent like that. So yeah, but I go back to the defensive line play. If you're getting whipped up front, and I saw McTelvin and him just get picked up and thrown, and that's those offensive linemen for LSU. Those were men. I mean, they were big, fat. I mean, Arkansas's defensive line is 260, 270. And you're going against athletic 320-pounders across the front, LSU. And it just, to me, until you get defensive line play where you're physically able to whip some guys, that's what's going to happen on a weekly basis defensively. You're going to give up 600 yards.
Morning Rush brought to you by Arvest Bank. Have you checked your mortgage rate lately? A lot of times people forget what the rate is on their loan once they leave the closing table. Your friends at Arvest Bank would love the opportunity to review your current loan with you. Arvest has competitive rates in the 3 and 4% range right now that can lower your monthly payment and shorten the term of your loan or do both. And they service 99% of the loans that they originate at Arvest, so you can deal with one of the local branches that's convenient for you. Start with a call to Randy at 479-573-1127. That's 573-1127. Or download the Home For Me app to your mobile device and search for a Arvest loan officer near you. Arvest Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Sean in Greenwood text in saying, could Lonnie reinstate O'Grady? Nope, that ship has sailed. Cheyenne O'Grady.
That would have helped.
C.G. O'Grady. He is not going to be on the team and he's not going to be reinstated. Oh, no. That's the real frustrating thing about it is because you feel like offensively, and I know that injuries played a part and all that, skill position-wise, Arkansas's got some dudes, or at least did this year. You had, of course, Rakeem Boyd, 1,000-yard rusher. You had KJ Jefferson, but you have Treylon Burks and Trey Knox, which are two big-time receivers. You had a Cheyenne O'Grady, who has the ability to get into the NFL. I don't know for sure if he's going to be. But you guys had all these pieces that seemed like it was perfectly set up for whoever the quarterback was going to at least have some weapons around him. And it was just unable to really materialize into anything. So that's what's got to be also frustrating. And maybe you can be hopeful about if some of these young guys get some more experience. But you're just hoping now, because we talked about whoever the new coach is going to have to recruit. You're going to hope that a lot of these guys, a lot of these true freshmen, they stay.
Yeah.
You're going to have to hope that Trey. And I'm not saying that there's any indication or any reason to believe they're leaving now. I don't have any idea. But I'm just saying with the way that the culture is now in college football, best believe whoever the new coach is, the first recruit you're calling is Trey Knox, Treylon Burks. Well, these guys that are so talented, they could go anywhere else and play. You want to make sure that they stay at home and stay here at Arkansas.
Well, the KJ Jefferson Burks combination could be so exciting to watch the next few years if it'll pan out in your state. And that's one of the things that any coaching candidate looking at this job, evaluating this job, they're going to look at the current roster. They're going to evaluate what talent would I inherit, because they understand that you can't. They just watched Chad Morris win two games in a row, two seasons in a row, and get fired. you know, I'm sure the next coach's contract is going to have a steeper guarantee for them, but still, paying attention to the talent they got is going to be big and important, and having Burks there is going to be critical, along with Knox and Woods and all these other guys.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Clay Henry, Maddie T, all in studio with you today. And thank you, as always, for making us a part of your morning this morning on a Monday Morning Quarterback presented by Crabtree RV.
Yeah, they want to say thank you for the fourth consecutive year. You voted Crabtree RV and Alma the best place to buy an RV, and they're showing their appreciation with the Christmas Cash Day sale now through New Year's Eve. You get $1,000 in Christmas cash or sales tax paid on the purchase of any new RV from Crabtree RV in Alma, and they'll still give you the most for your trade. The best deals of the year are happening now at Crabtree RV in Alma, where your family's dreams come true.
All right, since it's Monday, and since there was a weekend chock full of so many different things, so many great things and so many awful things, let's go ahead and jump right into the best and the worst of the weekend here on The Morning Rush.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
We the best.
This is the worst.
It's time for the best and worst of the weekend.
All right, the best and the worst of the weekend brought to you by Burton Pools and Spas.
Yeah, save up to $2,700 or no interest for 5 years on brand new Hot Springs hot tubs during Burton Pools and Spas holiday sale. It's on right now. Over 60 luxury spas to choose from starting at $26.95. This includes delivery, cover, and startup chemicals. So stay warm and cozy this winter in your new hot tub. It's the perfect gift for you and your family. A new hot spring spa from Burton Pools and Spas. $2,700 in rebates or no interest for 5 years. See them now at Burton Pools and Spas, Springdale, and in Fort Smith. Your source for backyard fun.
What do we want to start with? We want to start with the good or the bad? How do we want to do this?
I always think you want to end on a high note.
Okay, so you want to start with the bad?
Yep.
All right, well, I got a few of the worst of the weekend. And this one's so dumb. So, Saturday, not that I would ever really care about the Harvard-Yale game in any other regard. Football game, that is. Not rowing. What is the sport when they row? Is it just rowing?
Rowing,
is it just rowing? Yeah, I feel like that's probably what they're known for up there in Harvard. Lacrosse, if you will.
Maybe. Crew.
Crew. That's what it is. Crew. That's what I'm referring to. So
it's called crew.
Rowing's what we do at the gym on that machine over there in the corner. That
You do rowing?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's cool. Probably don't have that at CrossFit, do they?
They actually do.
Do they?
They actually do.
It's a good full body workout.
That's right. That's right.
Good old man workout.
Trivia.
Oh,
trivia. So who's the guy that sits there and doesn't do anything but count the cadence? What do they call him?
Oh, I have no
couldn't
idea.
Tell you.
The cadence master.
I think he's the coxswain.
You think he's the what?
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Moving on.
COXSWAIN.
All right.
Okay.
He sets the cadence.
Okay. Yeah. So now we know.
You can't have a false start in crew.
Yeah. No. Well, that was not the point
that's
of
what he does.
This is not the point of my worst of the weekend. But that's okay though. But
interesting sidebar.
And
I missed you.
No, it's okay, Clay. And the Harvard Yale game.
The coxswain is the person in charge of the boat. Yeah. He's
got
in charge of the boat.
Got it. The Harvard-Yale football game. We're talking about football game here. Yale got the victory in overtime over Harvard in the historic rivalry, but that's not the worst of the weekend.
They didn't cover, and that was really brutal.
That was the tough thing about it. But my worst of the weekend is right at halftime, about a little over 100 students from both Harvard and Yale walk out onto the field to protest climate change. There's a lot of banners. They just sat there in the middle of the field. People got arrested and all of this. And it's delayed the game for over an hour.
Hour and 20 minutes, yeah.
And it was just, I'm looking at it, and there are two things cross my mind. Is one, this is dumb. I understand it's your right to protest in this country. And it's a right that should be exercised. I'm not against that. But to me, it's always about times and places when it comes to these things. And
in the middle
I'm against protesting on things I don't believe in, you know? So.
Well, that too. But that too.
You can protest all you want as long as you agree with my views.
Well, that's how it is these days. Yes, exactly. It's okay to protest as long as
you don't agree
with
my views. You should never protest.
Yes, but and to protest in climate change and walk out in the field and to like just have this happen and they're like, I'm like, what do y'all do? Like, do you not realize that this disrupts other things besides, like, that's more into people that's more important than your protest? Could you not have protested somewhere else? No. I thought it was dumb.
Well, it wouldn't got attention. John Neighbors wouldn't be talking about it.
No, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be at all. But maybe that's what their point was. And if that's okay, cool. You got the victory there. But I just thought that this was really dumb because I think time and place for protesting is always important. But the second thing that popped up into my mind, Tommy, could you imagine if this happened at the Alabama-LSU game at halftime
a couple weeks ago?
Could you imagine what would happen? Somebody would lose their limbs. Like, it would be bad news bears to delay the football game.
I don't think many in the state of Alabama, whether they're Auburn or Alabama fans, probably have a lot to say about climate change.
No, but exactly. Just but guessing. Could you imagine if they interrupted their football game?
Oh, I know.
For that. It was a scene that was caused and it just wasn't. I just thought it was very poorly done and very much in the wrong place and time. And that's my worst of the week. And seeing over 150 Harvard and Yale students come together and protest in the middle of a football game.
Yep.
When it comes to climate change, I'm not for it. So there's my worst of the weekend.
All right, all of you people out there, listen.
You want them to protest during lacrosse, right?
Right.
Yeah, protest in a game that I don't care about.
Yeah.
Do it that way. Or just, you know, protest like the people used to do in the good old days, just in the streets. Yeah. Go out there in the streets and protest.
Yeah.
But do it in the middle of a football game, stop it.
All right, everyone out there that says I constantly defend officiating, no matter what the situation, listen up. Because
you do.
I do not, Clay. That's
right.
That's inaccurate. It's inaccurate, but here's your day. Here's your day that you can no more say this, even though that's not accurate. I have come on this show before and said, no, that wasn't a good call. Yesterday, the tripping call in the Cowboys game, horrendous. Cannot be defended. I don't know how that flag comes out, why that flag came out, but Clay, did you get to see this? I know you're putting the magazine together. That changed.
Yeah,
that was awful.
It was the defining moment in the play, in the game,
yes.
Without question. And it was really interesting to watch the players on the sideline as they watched the replay, and they're like, "What?
Yeah,
what?" Even the New England players are like, "They called that?
Even
we'll take it."
I mean, you go back to the Skipper's call.
It was
sad.
That
was a trip. I don't know what. Just you thought you saw something that wasn't there. I'm not sure, but that was bad. And then the call. I was going to kind of lump all this together. The call to kick the field goal rather than go for it on 4th and 11. Still
yeah, not about that.
A head scratcher to me in that game. But
that was my bad. Yeah. Yep, that was my bad.
Well, I'll let you
and I watched the interview, the post. I switched over to ESPN and watched them try to grill the coach, and he was just like, "That was what was called for. We're going to get the ball back." And it's like, wait a minute. That's your best chance to score a touchdown the whole game. And you did not elect to try to score a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean,
even
if you go for it.
They deserve to lose at that point.
Yeah, the defense have been playing well. Even if you go for it and don't get it, you'll get the ball back with good field position. It was a bad, bad call by the Cowboys coaching staff.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was my bad, so y'all can move on. That was going to be, without question, that was the worst of the weekend.
I'll tell you what, I got another bad one. And here, Tommy, we can fade the music for this one so that way everyone can hear it on this one. But this one was to me, I got triggered by this. I don't get triggered much, but I got triggered by this last night. So Drake Greenlaw, who is a great player, of course, he was for Arkansas. Now he's on the San Francisco 49ers. They're doing a great job this year and might even be the favorites in the NFC. He's part of the team. He's starting now. So congratulations to him. But, you know, when they do these games and just like they do in college football, but they have more of an attention to it when it comes to pro football, they'll have the players, when they go through the starting lineups on the television broadcast, say their name. And where they played school or where they played football back in college. They've been doing this forever. It's just been part of it. Well, Dre Greenlaw, when he announces his name and the place he played college football at, this is what he said.
Dre Greenlaw, University of Arkansas.
What?
Yeah, Dre Greenlaw, University of Arkansas.
People were going crazy about this on Twitter.
I'm not having it. I am not having it.
And I the only thing that I would hope for this is that he lost a bet to somebody in the locker room dealing with the Arkansas-LSU game or something. Because that right there is triggering. That's insulting.
Apparently he lost a bet. And
that's what I'm hoping happened.
And yeah, there was some stuff about it with an LSU. But hey, I don't know that I could follow. I may have to welch in that. Hey, we'll buy dinner.
Yeah.
We'll buy you a Rolex. We'll do something, but I can't say Arkansas.
Like, that is very offensive to me when you say Arkansas. It was offensive when Les Miles did it back in 2007 before that game. And as Darren McFadden said after they had won that game, he says, just remember, it ain't Arkansas, it's Arkansas, baby. That's how you pronounce it. So when I heard that last night, I got upset. And again, I'm hoping that it was because of a bet. I'm hoping that was the whole reason behind it. But just know, folks, especially for those of you who are listening here in this show that may not be from the state of Arkansas, do not, under any circumstance, call the state Arkansas. You can, when you describe people from Arkansas, yes, they are Arkansans. And I think they used to be Arkansasers by way back when, but they called Arkansans. So yes, I can understand how sometimes that can be confusing. But it is Arkansas. It always has been Arkansas and always will be Arkansas. And for those of you who say, well, why, it's spelled the same way like with Kansas, so why is it done that way? Hey, Tommy, which state was established first? Which state was founded first?
Arkansas.
That's right. So maybe it's Kansas saying it the wrong way. Maybe they should be Kansas, all right? Maybe that's the way it should be. But that's another one I had to go with my worst of the weekend, is it's not Arkansas, right. It's Arkansas. So say it the shepherd, so say it the flock. All right.
I mean, this is a kid that went to Fayetteville High School.
Yeah, so I mean, come
it's
on.
It's not like he was, you know, a Texas kid that played at Arkansas and was here 4 years. No, he's a Fayetteville guy.
Yeah, you know? What's worse, it's pronouncing Arkansas that way or not understanding the abbreviation for Arkansas? What's worse?
Oh, I get these calls all the time. Hello, Mr. Kraft. We're calling you. You live in, you know, these telemarketers. You live in Fort Smith, Arizona? Or is that Alaska? No, 0-2.
Yeah, you know? I mean, listen.
Apparently, they don't teach that in the third grade anymore.
I don't know if you know who Mitch Hedberg is, but he was a famous comedian. Rest in peace. But one of the things, the jokes he made, is like, you want to know how to abbreviate Arkansas? Spell Arkansas. Mm-hmm. A-R. Okay, stop.
Yep.
That's how you abbreviate Arkansas. So that's very frustrating. By the way, Matt Benville just texted, and he said he lost a bet to Quan Alexander. He played at LSU for Les Miles, so that's where he got. Okay, if that's the case, I still don't like it. But that's all right. As long as it's a bet and he wasn't seriously calling the state of Arkansas Arkansas, I had to do it. All right, I guess now we got to move on to a more positive note.
End on a high note.
So Clay, since you didn't really, or we kind of took your worst of the weekend, go ahead and give your best of the weekend.
Yeah, I'd have to say Jack Lindsey coming in and leading the team to 2 touchdowns. That's the best for me. I did a story on Jack earlier in the year, and he's a great kid. He was engaging, enjoyed every bit of the interview, and was probably my highlight interview of the season. And, you know, the idea that, you know, he decided as a 10-year-old that, you know, he was going to run through the A, and that was his goal. And then, you know, it's like, hey, I got on the field as a holder. Dow Loggins called him and told him, got to do more than just be the holder. And he says, but that'll get you on the field and you'll be a letterman. But now to have his chance and perform so well in that stage, in that environment, it just kind of gives you the good feeling. And there hadn't been a lot of good feelings about this team this year, but that's one right there.
Yeah, and that was a great one. What about you, Tommy?
Best of the weekend, Jalen Williams committing to the University of Arkansas. Another big, feather in the recruiting cap of Eric Musselman, who's cleaning up in state. We'll see what happens with K.K. Robinson. But, anytime you go back, you can go all the way back to Eddie and Coach Sutton taking that first team that came with someone from Fort Smith Northside and Ron Brewer and in-state kids. And every moment in Arkansas basketball, and really you can say football too, has always been filled with a roster with Arkansas players on it. So I really am hopeful, and I'm really excited about what's happening. Another Arkansas commitment. That was my best of the weekend, is to see some great in-state talent not get away.
Yeah, I got two quick ones here for my best of the weekend. First off, Jimmy Witt, Razorback basketball player from Friday night. You know, he couldn't really get anything going from Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones, even though Mason Jones ended up with 14, still shot 5 of 12 from the field. Isaiah Joe only had 5 points, went 2 of 10 from the field. But Jimmy Witt stepped up 11 of 14 for 24 points for him, so that was big time. But my other best of the weekend, and I had to edit this up and cut it up, but the Darren McFadden hype video for Arkansas and LSU, that was probably the best thing or the only good thing about the game itself, in my mind, was this hype video. And I cut it up just to get the Darren McFadden speaking parts. But just listen to this and listen to how it ends as well.
When you suit up for the Razorbacks, you play for more than just the name on the back of your jersey. You play for generations of great athletes who have worn the Cardinal and white. Play for every 479, 870, and 501 boy, dreaming of following in your footsteps. Play for the entire state of Arkansas. Wild hogs are relentless. They band together and they fight till they can't fight anymore. And they're the most dangerous when they're backed in the corner. It's time to get up. It's time to get loud. It's time to show everybody why there's only one team worthy of being called a Razorback. It's time to bring that wood.
All right, that was all it was. And I know he probably read most of that, and it was a script given to him. But that watching that whole video, and if you haven't seen it, check out the Arkansas Razorbacks football Twitter account. But that was fantastic. I loved it. And it's just something nostalgic, and especially when times are bad, to see Darren McFadden coming out there, the greatest Razorback football player of all time, in my opinion,
yeah,
to talk about being an Arkansas Razorback, talking about being from the state of Arkansas and all that. So it was just awesome. So I had to give it up. And that was my other best of the weekend.
Pretty good one right there.
Yeah.
Greatest there ever was.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have a bad now?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I've thought of another bad. So, Greg McElroy.
Just
blasting, you know, Arkansas for firing Chad Morris. And it's like, hey, yeah, don't tell us how to do our business.
Oh, my goodness.
And you got to be patient. It's like, well, did he not watch those games? I mean, it's surely he's paid attention and seen how low the team had slipped. And, you know, it's the same thing we went through when Bielema was fired. You know, these announcers, they come in on Friday and they get to sit down with the coach and they're like, oh, I love him. I mean, he's, you know, because he was, you know, gracious with their time. Brett Bielema, the same thing with Dory Noka after Dory Noka after he was fired, you know, blasted Arkansas mm-hmm. for firing, you know, both Jeff Long and Brett Bielema. Come on, guys. You got no business coming in here telling us how to do our business. I mean, at that point, I went back and watched a little of the tape and saw that. It's like, really? That's what that's what he chose to talk about? And that's my bad. But, yeah. You know, it goes with the Cowboys, but that's a little bit more of a local flavor bad.
He was getting roasted on Twitter for that. Hey, tonight, don't know what you're doing for the game as Arkansas takes on Georgia Tech, but if you want to get out and watch the game tonight, you can go to Joe's Grill and Cantina, half-price apps and taps during the game tonight. So, hey, you can go and you can have a good time, eat dinner. Game starts at 6, have appetizers and beer on tap half price. It's going to be the cheapest ticket in town for you to take you and the family out, I promise you. Great chips. Love the chips over there. We were there Saturday night for the football game. Thin, crispy. I mean, it's everything you want there at Joe's. Brisket nachos. Matty T, you had the brisket nachos. How were they?
I did. They were delicious. Some of the best brisket I've ever had.
So brisket nachos there, Mexican pizza, their big sampler platter, all half price tonight during the game and every game this season at Joe's Grill and Cantina, 3400 South 74th Street across from Harps and Fort Smith.
And just to piggyback off what Clay was talking about with the Greg McElroy thing, I think that it's amazing to me, because I'm with you, Clay. It's amazing to me that people may not be from the state of Arkansas. And I don't want to be those people that's just like, well, if you ain't from here, you don't know. Because I think that a lot of times people can come in and understand it. But for the people that just kind of sit from outside of the perspective, I had people that were some people in the media from other SEC schools that I had been talking to. They're like, I just don't think they should have fired Chad Morris. They shouldn't have fired Chad Morris. That's a bad look. I'm like, dude, he got blown out by Western Kentucky at home. Yeah. The team you cover, especially the guys like from LSU or from Alabama, Auburn, any of those places, you can't sit there and tell me that given Arkansas' success or lack thereof the past 2 years, that those schools would not have done the same
thing. If Gus Malzahn had lost to, what was it, Western Carolina they played Saturday?
Yes. Samford. I think it was Samford.
Alabama played one.
And, yeah, I think it was Samford that they played.
You think they would, if they'd have gotten blown out the way Arkansas did against Western Kentucky,
I promise you the noise would be very loud. They wouldn't have fired him after the game, but the noise would be very loud.
Mm-hmm. But it's different,
calling for
though.
His head.
But it's different, though, Tommy.
Oh, no, they would have fired him,
Tommy.
Oh, they would have
fired him?
You're wrong. They would have fired him.
Well, they have.
But that's the thing is, like, everyone thinks that it's different because, well, it's Arkansas, just know your place. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I don't understand that. And I know that the guys get close with coaches and they see from the outsider's perspective, they see they didn't even give them 2 years. So therefore it must be a bad deal. No, you just sit there and you handle your talk and let the people in the state of Arkansas actually know the situation, handle their business as well.
Yeah. It ain't a bad deal for Chad Morris. He's getting $10 million to not coach.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, there's a buyout for a reason.
A hush.
Yeah. So
yeah, guys, do not tell me what my place is.
That's right.
I know what my place is.
That's right. And the great words.
Yeah. Don't you come to me from Birmingham or Charlotte or wherever the SEC network, those guys, don't you tell me what my place is.
That's right. And in the great words of The Rock, know your role and shut your mouth.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.